Well, welcome back to the God School. I think I'm loaded for bear this morning. Christ was born in September. And today, we're going to look at the feast days of the Lord, which are contradicted by so much that is practiced in the churches today. I want to put God on display. God is in control. I want to encourage men and women of faith by the Word of God and warn those who would teach doctrines of men in substitution for the Word of God. One constant theme here at the God School is God is faithful. God, Numbers 23:19 says, is not a man that he should lie, nor the Son of Man that he should repent or change his mind. As he said, and so shall he do. And as he has spoken, so shall it be. For decades, visitors at the Bible Museum have come, and I've asked the questions regarding the feasts, feast days of the Lord, and they're wholly ignorant. There's exceptions here and there, but for the most part, wholly ignorant. Today, we're going to look at the feast days of God. Most understand there are seven: Passover, unleavened bread, first fruits, Pentecost, the Feast of Trumpets, the Feast of Atonement, the Feast of Tabernacles. But in Leviticus 23, it says, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, concerning the feasts of the Lord, which ye shall proclaim to be holy convocations, even as these are my feasts, we need to point out the Hebrew word being translated feast is moed. And it simply means appointed time or set times. But let's read on. 6 days shall work be done, but on the seventh is a Sabbath of rest and holy convocation. Ye shall do no work therein. It is a Sabbath of the Lord in all your dwellings. This is the eighth. This is the first. The Sabbath. In Paul's letter to the Hebrews, he says, There remaineth a rest. The word being translated rest is sabbathing. In the New Testament, the life of faith is sabbathing. God created the world in 6 days, and on the seventh he rested. His work was finished. The last words of Christ on the cross were, "It is finished." We as Christians, in this life of faith, we have rested from works of the law and have acted and do act on God's word. As I said, a life of faith. Christ is the end of the law, Romans 10 tells us, for righteousness. Oh, I know how tough it is. I struggle with it all the time. I want to do what's right. Well, we do what's right when we grab hold of a promise of God and act on it as though it's more real than anything we might see, feel, or experience. This is the first. God rested from his works. Christ said, "It is finished." Of Christ, it is said in Hebrews 1, who purified us from all our sins and sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. The work, ladies and gentlemen, children of God, is done. As for the other appointed times, Paul tells us, in the second chapter of Colossians, where to start? Now, this part's free. It just needs to be declared. 10th verse says, well, let's go to the 9th verse. Speaking of Christ, for in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily or substantially. And ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom, that is, in Christ also, ye are circumcised, with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Buried with him in baptism, wherein ye also are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who has raised him, that is Jesus, from the dead. And you and me, being dead in our sins and the uncircumcision of our flesh, has he quickened together with him, with Christ, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances which was against us. That's the law, folks. Which was contrary to us. We couldn't do it. And took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross, that is, Christ's cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them. That's the adversary. There is triumphing over them in himself. That is, that word triumphantly has this thought attached. He opened them to ridicule. Paul goes on to say, let no man therefore judge you in meat, or in drink. Let no man judge you about what you're eating or about what you're drinking, or in respect of an holy day or of a new moon, or King James says, or of the Sabbath days. Not, there's no definite article in the Greek. It just says, or of Sabbath days. And as I said, the Christian life is a life of Sabbathing, resting in Christ. And with an understanding, the work is done. He did it. We are the beneficiary recipients of what Jesus Christ has done. Paul goes on to say, in meat or in drink or in respect of an holy day or of a new moon or of Sabbaths, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body, King James says, is of Christ. The better translation is, but the substance is Christ. These feast days, these appointed times, these set times of God were but shadows. Christ, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is the substance. So now let's look at the other seven feast days. We have Passover, 14th day of the month. Passover. If I get into all the details, I'll never finish this message. Perhaps it's a two-part message, but let's go. Passover was that time when God delivered the children of Israel out from Egypt. Egypt, a type of sin. He delivered them out from it. But that was a shadow. What was the substance? At God's appointed time, that Jesus Christ died on Passover. We need to take a step back and remind perhaps new listeners that in the Hebrew calendar, the day began at sundown, not 12 a.m., at sundown, best time perhaps 6 p.m. That was the beginning of the day. That practice in the church of Christ dying on Good Friday, that practice of the church of Christ rising Sunday morning with the sunrise, and thousands and millions of I'll give them the benefit of the doubt. Christians are fooled into getting up early in the morning and worshiping the sunrise. It's a Babylonian tradition. It comes from Babylon, the false religion. But back to Passover. Why is this important? Because what it shows is God is faithful. He does what he says. And that year wherein Christ was crucified and died, the Passover was on Wednesday. Now remember what I just said. The day began at sundown. Therefore, the beginning of Wednesday was Tuesday evening. That's why that Last Supper that Christ was having, he was celebrating with his disciples the Passover meal. That night, he's betrayed. He's judged. By the morning, he's condemned. By midday, he's hung on the cross. And in the ninth hour, he gave up the ghost. Now, the first three feast days or set times of God are the Passover, unleavened bread, and first fruits. Passover begins on the 14th, on the evening, Hebrew calendar, of the 13th day, which is the beginning of the 14th day. The next day, Wednesday, sundown, begins the Feast of Unleavened Bread. It lasts for 7 days. And the third set time of God is the Feast of First fruits, which is a feast within the feast of unleavened bread. And it occurs on the first day of the week. What's the first day of the week? It's Sunday. Well, if it's Sunday, Don, why are you criticizing those who get up and do sunrise service? Well, because Sunday begins Saturday night. They asked Jesus for a sign. He said, "It's a faithless and perverse generation that seeketh a sign, but knowing what you are, I'll give you one." As Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the whale, so shall the Son of Man be buried and rise again? 3 days and three nights. The practice in the church for hundreds and hundreds of years, brought in by Babylonian traditions, is Christ dies Friday afternoon. Christ rises Sunday morning. Well, if he dies Friday afternoon, so he's in the tomb Friday night, he's in the tomb Saturday day, he's in the tomb Saturday night, and then rises. That's two nights and a day. Didn't Jesus know what he was talking about? He sure as hell did. And the actual days of these appointed times were Passover, beginning Tuesday night. He celebrates with his disciples the Passover meal. He's betrayed. He's judged. I think four different times. He's condemned. He's nailed to the cross and dies. And in the practice of the Passover, the Passover lamb was slain between the evenings. His death, now complete. He's buried before sundown. They rushed it because, you know, in the New Testament it says, because the Sabbath. Well, it wasn't talking about a Saturday Sabbath. It was talking about a high Sabbath day, the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And so he is buried before the beginning of Unleavened Bread. He's buried, having taken all our sins upon himself. And they're buried with him. And he is in the tomb Wednesday night and Thursday night and Friday night, and he's in the tomb Thursday, and he's in the tomb Friday, and he's in the tomb Saturday. And that feast within a feast, the feast of first fruits, he comes out of the tomb. The resurrection, the foundation of Christianity, says, whom God raised up. God, who is faithful. Christ, who is faithful. And Jesus comes out of the tomb Saturday evening, the beginning of first fruits. The scripture says, I'm paraphrasing, if the first lump be holy, then shall all the rest be holy. And we are found in Christ, separated by God unto himself. That fourth set time of God, that appointed time of God, that feast day of God, is the Feast of Pentecost. Interesting to note that when Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the law, 3,000 died, and on the day of Pentecost, which is 50 days after the first fruit, the Feast of First Fruits, 3,000 are born into the church. It is the beginning of the fulfillment of Pentecost, where by faith the Holy Spirit of God comes and dwells in us. Those are in the first part of the Hebrew calendar. September 30th this year is a day that the Jews call Rosh Hashanah. In the scripture, it's called Feast of Trumpets. And it was a time where there was preparation leading up to that day. And on that day, there were blown two silver trumpets. It's silver is always a type of redemption. But there were two silver trumpets blown because one was not sufficient. We've given proof here through the scriptures that Christ, not born December 25th, but on the feast of Rosh Hashanah, the first trumpet, God in Christ became kin with us, the beginning of our redemption. For the requirement was no redemption save by next of kin. Christ became on this day kin with us. That's the true Christmas message. I'm not going to get into all the traditions that make void the Word of God, but it is Emmanuel, God with us. Rosh Hashanah, Feast of Trumpets. I'll just give you a little side note. Two trumpets, because one was not adequate. This was the day that Christ first came and became kin with us. One trumpet, second trumpet, it's the day he's coming back. Oh, you can't say that. No man knows the day or the hour. Well, God's word is sufficient for me to make that most confident statement because of the confidence of God's word. Jesus is coming back on this day. Now, you ask me what year? Don't have that answer. I believe it's going to be sooner than later. But Feast of Trumpets, that's the day he's coming back. That's the day he became kin with us. Not December 25th. And all those leaders, so-called, in the church know the truth. Why they don't tell it, I don't know. Perhaps because they want you to have more confidence in them and in yourself than in God, who has rested from all his work, in Jesus, who has rested from all his work, and we are recipients of his grace. That sixth feast day, set time, appointed time of God is the Feast of Atonement. This is the day where the high priest would, and the only day that the high priest would go in to the Holy of Holies. Types and shadows, folks. Substance is Christ. But he would never go in without the blood, that which represented a life for which, if the priest came out from the Holy of Holies, it meant the sacrifice was acceptable. Type and shadow. And the congregation of Israel had the understanding that God had accepted the sacrifice for their sins. And great joy was in the camp of Israel. Type and shadow, the substance being Christ. When Christ comes back with his saints and does war against the adversary, this Day of Atonement was a day also of the affliction of the soul. And to those whom God has chosen, to those whom God has separated, who did not recognize Christ at his first coming, who now, through much tribulation, through the great tribulation, will recognize him whom they have pierced. And come again to God by faith. And God, having made provision, takes them unto himself. And the last feast day is the Feast of Trumpets. Of tabernacles. This was a time where the children of Israel would leave their permanent dwellings and dwell, you know, maybe on the top of their roof or out in the backyard somewhere, and live under the shelter of branches and leaves, a temporary dwelling place wherein they would remember. How that the Lord led them for 40 years through the desert, and they never lacked a thing. Their shoes didn't wear out. They were provided manna every day, save on the Sabbath, and God miraculously provided a double portion for that day wherein they would not go and gather the manna. He provided water from a flinty rock. That rock, Paul tells us, was Christ. Shadows, substance is Christ. And Zechariah tells us that this feast day, this set time of God, shall be recognized by the whole world and those who will not come to Jerusalem to recognize and acknowledge and celebrate all the provision of God. God will send a plague on him. And they'll celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles for 1,000 years. Just a side note, all this climate change bullshit, if you're a Christian, look unto Christ, who is coming again and shall rule and reign in this world for 1,000 years. Man's not going to ruin it. Man cannot undo what God has done. To those of you who have ears, I hope you hear what God's word says. And remove yourself from this religion of environmentalists, of climate change activists, and tell of the wondrous news that Jesus Christ is coming again, and he is going to rule and reign, and we, as the scripture says, in Revelation 20, verse 4, John is saying, "And I saw thrones, and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them which were beheaded for the witness of Jesus, and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads, or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Christmas is in September. God is still on his throne. He is in control, and we who having heard and having seen a demonstration of his faithfulness, we know that he can be trusted. And we, by his grace, through his Spirit, shall continue trusting in him forevermore. And that's the God School for today.